owner of Boisai, Limud of Hilchos Lashon Hara, is the Schus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayle, Yishtav Refuah Shleim, Vesoy Shal Chayle Yisrael. So as we said yesterday, we are now moving into Klal Tes of Hilchos Lashon Hara, which is about Avak Lashon Hara. Avak Lashon Hara means indirect Lashon Hara. As I said, it's like the dust. You don't see it, but when you move your finger across, then you can see the dust on your finger. It's something that's there, but not. We gave one example yesterday. We only had the last minute when I asked you something about, you know, how. Your wife will ask you about how was Rabbi Lewis's shiur this morning, and you'll say, you know, I don't like speaking Lashon Hara. Yeah. Or, yeah, so you haven't said anything. All you said was, I don't like speaking Lashon Hara. She said, oh, I didn't say anything. It was quite clear, yeah? Or something like, don't ask me, ask someone else. Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim says there are basically two categories of Avak Lashon Hara. One is where the Lashon Hara is implied in what I said, even though I can argue that the words that I said were not Lashon Hara, like the examples that we just had just now. And the other type is where when I say what I say, that will cause other people to speak Lashon Hara. And we'll come to it later, we'll explain it. So he says as follows. He says, on the first category, he says, like I said, the examples of, you know, don't ask me, or I don't like speaking Lashon Hara. I never speak Lashon Hara. Only the people down the road speak Lashon Hara all the time. And there's another example he gives in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, which is when you say, look how wonderful he is. Such a shame a Torah mitzvahs, considering where he comes from. Yeah, hasn't he done well? Hasn't he improved? And there's an implication there. You're saying, oh, I'm praising him because he's such a wonderful person now. And he's Shema Torah Mitzvahs, but you're saying, considering where he comes from. So you're implying that he has some sort of a background which is not so wonderful.
You could also say, what did he say?
Sorry?
He spoke half an hour. What did he say?
Oh, that's speaking about speakers. Yeah. Yeah, some people say after a drosha. Yeah, but that's Lashon Hara itself. That's not Avak Lashon Hara. No, the Chofetz Chaim says, Hizicha didn't say anything for half an hour. Right? You might come out of a shiur sometimes and say, oh, he said nothing. He waffled. Yeah, but he didn't say nothing. Right? He must have said something. It might not be to your taste. I've seen hundreds of times in Torah way over the years that you can have one shiur and one person thinks it's a wonderful, a fantastic shiur, and the other one says, no. He didn't say anything, or didn't like it at all. Yeah, that can be. That's not necessarily. That could be an opinion rather than a fact. So, or you say, yeah. So you say, or isn't he wonderful considering the thing, or hasn't he done well considering that he's not that bright? Yeah, considering that he's not so clever. And these are things where you could argue that I'm not saying any Lashon Hara. I'm saying good things about him, but there's an implication. Now, the other way around is like this, and this is when. You saying what you say, which is not Lashon Hara, is going to prompt other people to speak Lashon Hara. The first example he gives is when you praise somebody, right? You give shvachim to somebody and you say what a wonderful person he is, and he's done this, that, and the other, etc., right? And the problem is that there can be cases where that's going to lead to the opposite. First of all, you praise somebody in front of his enemy. His enemy's going to say, you think he's so such a thing, you think he's so good, I know things about him that you don't know. If you knew what I knew, then you wouldn't hold so well of him. So immediately when you say, yeah, that he's good, the same thing he says is, very often it can be a businessman with a competitor, right? And you're praising your product, yeah, against the competitor's product and putting his down, and the competitor's going to fight back, yeah? So there is situations where I say something, it could be innocuous, we'll carry on tomorrow, Bleeder, but it causes somebody else to respond, and the response is going to be Lashon Hara. So the Avak Lashon Hara is that I'm likely to cause somebody else to speak Lashon Hara. We'll look at some examples tomorrow, Bleeder. This is Torah Way, Golders Green, Northwest London, 20, Chof Aleph. Sivan, 27th of June, Rabbi Dr. Samuel Landau Schlitter, Spies and Self-Esteem.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be back at Torah Way. One of the most dramatic and challenging episodes in the narrative of the desert is the story of the spies. How can it be that with so much that has happened to them already, so much miracles, so much support from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the different things that have occurred, Ma'amad HaSinai, Kriyas Yamsuf, nevertheless, we arrive at this parasha, and because we read with the end in mind, we know what's going to happen, it's almost like we read it, and we want to say, stop, 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 please don't do this, please don't give that report, please don't give up, be mityaesh, give hopelessness to the nation, because we know what happens after the report of the spies. We know that after this report, they're going to have to wander for another 40 years in the Midbar. It's interesting, even. You know, if you were asking me, what's the worst sin in Sefer Bamidbar? What would you say? I wake up in the middle of the night and say, and you say, well, Rabbi Landau, why are you in my bedroom in the middle of the night? But after we get over the initial awkwardness, I say, what's the worst sin in Sefer Bamidbar? What might you say?
May Mariva.
May Mariva, you might say. Egel Azav, maybe. It's not here, it's a bit earlier. But what's the worst sin of the narrative? Sin of the narrative of the Bnei Yisrael? As in, what's the thing that really should push them away from? What's the thing that really should push them away from being able to come into the promised land, having to die out in the desert? I'd say the Egel Azav. I mean, the Egel Azav, that's a big deal, right? May Mariva, that's a big deal. But the spies, this is the one, Noach, that pushes them over the edge. This is the one that means that they lose their ability to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what is the root of this sin? And I have a theory that I've been developing, that there is something quite psychological, Noach, at the root of this sin. And I'd like to explore that with you together. So in order to do that, let's just remind ourselves of this particular section of text. So I'm just going to read it together from towards the end of Perek Yud Gimel. All the way through to the first pasuk in Perek Yud Dalet. And then we might do the next three pasukim a little bit later on this morning. So Vayisapru'lo, they come back. They've gone to the land. They've spied there for 40 days. They've come back. Vayisapru'lo, and they report back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomru. And the spies say, Banu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu. We came to the land that you sent us to. V'gam zavaz chalaf u'dvash hi v'zeh piryo. And it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And that's how you've got those amazing images of the Palestinian wine company, also known as Paulwin. They have as their logo, right, the two spies holding the big grapes in between. This is a land flowing with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. Efes ki az ha'am ha'yeshe ba'aretz. But, and here's the but. The people that dwell in the land is powerful. Ve'ha'arim b'tzures gedodos, ma'oid. And the cities are fortified very greatly. V'gam yiledi ha'anak ra'inu sham. And we also saw there the offspring of the Anak, of the giant. There are two different words used for giant over here. There's Anak, there's Anakim, which is really, really great giants. And there's Nephilim, we'll see a little bit later, which is slightly smaller giants. And the Malbim has an interesting time talking about the difference between an Anak and a Nephil. Anyway, so Amalek Yosheb Eret HaNegev, the Amalekite dwells in the south, in the area of the south. And then you've got the Chittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite, they're dwelling on the mountain, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea and on the bank of the Jordan. So they're saying, there's really big stuff over there. Yes, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but actually, it's very tricky. There's big, big people. And they're all over there, and there's this array of nations that have already that are already living there, and it's going to be very difficult. So who stands up? Vayahas Kalev Esa'am El Moshe. So then Kaleb silences the people towards Moshe. Vayomer. And he says, Aloi Na'ale. We can still go. For sure we can go up there. We can make Aliyah. Vayarashnu Osa. Kin Yachol Nuchal La. Of course we can conquer it. We can surely do it. A real can-do attitude. An attitude that hasn't actually denied anything that they've said. He hasn't changed any of the factual, evidential feedback, but it has changed how we relate to that evidence. He hasn't said that evidence is something which should suggest defeat, which would suggest that we cannot do it. No! Yes, it's going to be hard, but for sure we can do it. We've got God on our side, after all. And then comes the next part of the report. V'ha'anashim asher alu imoy. But the men that went up with him, Amru, lo nuchal la'alos el ha'am. They say, we cannot ascend to that people. Ki chazak hu mimenu. They are stronger than us. Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz. And then they brought forth an evil report about the land, Asher Taru Osav, which they went out to spy. El Bnei Yisrael Leimor said to the children of Israel, saying, Ha'aretz Asher Avarnu V'alasur Osav, that the land through which we have passed to spy it out, Eretz Ocheles Yoshevehahi, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. V'chol Ha'am Asher Reinu V'socha Anshei Midos. And all the people we saw in it were huge. And here is the line that I really want to spend most of the shiur paying attention to. V'shom ra'inu es ha'nefilim. There we saw the Nephilim. We saw the giants. B'nei Anak, which are the sons of the even greater giants. V'shom ra'inu es ha'nefilim. B'nei Anak min ha'nefilim. V'nehi ve'einenu kechagavim. Listen to this line. And this is the line. V'nehi ve'einenu kechagavim. We were like grasshoppers in our eyes. V'chein ha'inu be'einehem. And so were we in their eyes. We were like grasshoppers in our eyes. We were like chagovim in our eyes. And so too we were in their eyes. They don't start by reporting how the B'nai Eretz Yisrael at the time, the people who are living in the land of Israel at the time, thought about them. They start by talking about themselves. I was little in my own eyes. I was like a chagav. I was like a locust.
How did they know?
So Rashi's going to ding in at this point right now. Okay, Rashi and Medrash and Sota is going to ding in at this point, but we'll get there in just 1 second. Until once they suggest that in their eyes they are like locusts, then they say, and by the way, we were like locusts in the eyes of the inhabitants as well. So they start with themselves and they go on to them. And then that is the end of Perek Yud Gimel. We move on to Perek Yud Dalet with the line that will haunt the Jewish nation. Has haunted us for the thousands of years since that moment. V'atisa kol ha'edah. And all the assembly raised up. V'ayinu es kolam, and they give forth their voice. V'ayivku ha'am ba'layla ha'hu. And they cry on that night. Atem b'chisa b'china shachayim b'chia shachinam. You cried b'chia shachinam. You cried for no reason. I will kill ani kaveh lachem b'chia l'doris. I will fix for you a cry, a tisha b'av ladoris. And so that final moment, we were like locusts in our eyes, v'chein hayinu b'einehem, and so to be way in their eyes. That is the pivot point from Perek Yud Gimel, the finale of their report, which then leads to the cry that has haunted us with tisha b'av for 2,000 years. That, more like 4,000 years, sorry. Okay. What is happening with this locust description? So the Rashbam already comments at this point. He says, Kechagovim, why are we using this language of a grasshopper? Hanamuch, nire legvoya mimenu, harbe, kechagovim. So the Rashbam says, anything which is low considers itself as a grasshopper, or a locust, a grasshopper, vis-a-vis something that is much bigger. So these spies are looking at themselves in comparison to the residents of the land of Israel, and they are saying, wow, they're so big, and I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking about myself, I am so small. And he brings a raya v'zeh mochiach, he brings a raya from a pasuk in Yeshayahu, hayoshev al chuk ha'oretz v'yoshevehot kechagovim. It says over there that it's compared to someone who's enthroned above the heavens of the earth, views its inhabitants as if they were grasshoppers. That there's this idea that if I compare myself to somebody else, I perceive them as greater than me, I'm going to look at myself as being very, very small. I'll look at myself as tiny. And so here is the beginning, I think, of a possible theory as to what was happening with these spies. I'll present the theory up front, and then we'll learn, I'll present a fair amount more text to explore this theory. The theory is like this. Many people struggle with low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is the lie that we tell ourselves, that we are small, we are meaningless, we are worthless. It may be a product of our upbringing, it may be a product of our genetics, it may be a product of our experiences. Of course, stereotypically, it's always going to be a product of our parents' mistakes. because that's the psychological way. But maybe here in the Midbar, the reason that they think of themselves as so small is because despite all the experiences that they've had, despite Kriyas Yam Suf, Mamad HaSinai and all the rest, they still think of themselves ultimately as a group of slaves. A slave nation. A nation that has been oppressed and made to feel small since they were tiny children. And they've always compared themselves to a dominant nation, whether it was the Mitzrim or now the different residents, the different nations that live in the land of Israel. They've always compared themselves to people that they believe to be greater than themselves. And they don't have colleagues' insight. Do you know who we are? We are Am Yisrael. We are the Am Segula. We are God's nation. They don't have that yet. They haven't internalized that message. Despite all these experiences, they still think of themselves, because of all that history, because of all that baggage, as being just kechagovim, like locusts. And that perception can be quite infectious when it triggers other people's perceptions as well. They didn't start by saying they looked at us like chagovim. They said we looked at ourselves as chagovim. We looked at ourselves as lowly, as having no self-esteem, no value, no worth, no capacity. They didn't say yachol nuchala. They didn't say we can do this. They say lo nuchal. We cannot do this. And that's the experience of self-esteem, low self-esteem. It's the lie that our brains tell us that we cannot. Why should we be able to? Everyone's told us or made us believe, or we've made ourselves believe that we're so small, we're so little. That is the lie of self-esteem, of low self-esteem. Now, it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Medrash has a little bit of Rachmanis on them. I'm just going to actually, before I get to the Medrash, I want to share that there are a couple more Mefarshim that seem to speak to this already as a Pasha to Peshat on the Pasuk. So the Aruch Chaim also already comments, and he says, V'chein hayinu be'einehem, that we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, and then we were also like that in their eyes. Hodi'oi bezeh, that the spies are revealing in this statement, ki afilu shar ha'anashim haragilim sham einam domim lahem. They're saying that even the other ordinary sized people in the land, because not everyone was a giant over there, they had some regular average sized people too. Nevertheless, einam domim lahem, that they are not comparable in stature, that they are still saying we felt. That we were like grasshoppers compared to everybody. The spies, just reading the translation, the spies revealed this by this comment, that they felt inferior even to the people in the land that did not fit the description of being men of stature. And the raya, the reason they knew this, ki hispalu bahem shehem kechagavim letzad haflas miut gufom. They knew this, that when comparing their own physiques to that of the average person, that even then, they were seeing themselves as smaller. So they extrapolated from this moment of smallness that they're smaller than everybody, not just the giants but also everybody. And the Medrash says, it's a very kind Medrash, the Medrash says in Bamidbar Rabbah, it says V'nehi be'einu kechagovim, granted that in our own eyes we were like locusts. Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu vitati aleihem. Because Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm going to let you off the hook for this. That's not your sin. I'm being kind to you. I understand why you've got that problem. But then when you extrapolate from that to think that this is how they look at you, you think, I understand you've got some baggage, says God. I'm permitting you your baggage. But this is then you're going to apply that to parse the situation, to look how other people look at you. How do you know? How do you know what they think about you? How do you know, says the Medrash, that they don't think about you like you're malachim, like you are kings, you are princes? Because that is what I've told the world, that is what I've communicated to the world with Matan Torah, with giving you that gift. How did it happen that you took your self-esteem, your low self-esteem, and applied that to other people so that you think that they also think of you like that? Now, you asked a question earlier. How do they know what the other people are saying? How do they know? So Rashi already dings in. He quotes a Gemara in Sota. And Rashi says that they're walking along, apparently, they're walking along in the kramim, in the vineyards, and he says, Shamanu oimrim zelaze namalim. Yesh bekramim ka'anashim. They say to each other, they're walking along, and they're sort of walking in the vineyard, and I guess you could imagine that they're these tiny people and they're these massive great giants on the vineyard as well, and they overhear the giant's conversation. They overhear the giant's conversation. The giants say to each other, I think there are some ants. I think there are some ants in the vineyard. That's interesting. What's the obvious question on Rashi, first of all?
Why ants?
Namalim. Namalim. Okay, so the Re'im already comments on Rashi, he's Magia, and he changes it to Chagovim. He says that it must be Chagovim, because the Lashon of the Pasuk is Chagovim, and Rashi is the Lashon of Namalim. So it must be that Rashi is the wrong gears in Rashi, and really Rashi meant Chagovim, that they were walking through the vineyard, and they overheard the giant's conversation. The giants are saying, I think there are some grasshoppers down there in the vineyard. And that's how they know. They saw themselves as Chagovim and Tucker. The giants also said, I think there are some grasshoppers down there in the vineyard. But there are three different approaches in Rashi, in addition to the Re'im, that don't change the text. They say Rashi is right. They heard the giants say, you are Namalim, you are ants, which are even smaller than Chagovim, grasshoppers. And V'chein hayinu be'enehem, and so were we in their eyes, is actually not, and so were we like grasshoppers in their eyes, but it is building on their own lowly perception of themselves. We thought of ourselves as logos, and so too, in their eyes, we were even worse. We were like ants. And so there are three different approaches in Rashi. In order to elucidate this approach, I need my giant and my midget. So here's my giant. That's my giant's head. And inside him is our little midget. Okay. And essentially, everything that transpires in the elucidation of Rashi is trying to look at the perspective of what happens when a smaller person or looks at a bigger person. What happens when a bigger person looks at a smaller person? And how did we establish relative size in the first place? Okay, so there's three different Mahachim and Rashi. I'm going to tell you the first two. They're not building on so much on the theory of self-esteem here. But I think it's really interesting how just there's such elaborate discussion of a Rashi, just one word in Rashi that has already built this binyan. So the Gur Aryeh says, he says, his Mahachim is, look, actually Rashi is, they were right. The spies were right. They were right that in a relative context, they were like Chagovim. If you want to think about how big these guys are, how big the giants compared to the spies really are the size of a grasshopper compared to us. So if I had a grasshopper on the table over here, so then the grasshopper compared to my size is the correct proportion of the size between the spy and the giants. Okay, so that's what he says. So Namalim Yesh Bekerim says the Gur Aryeh. So he says, look, he's commenting on Rashi that the spies are overhearing the giants say there are ants down there. De'imlo Kane says the Gur Aryeh Minna Yoda Miraglim Sha'omru V'chein Hayinu Be'enehem. Exactly your question. If they didn't overhear the giants talking, how would the spies know V'chein Hayinu Be'enehem? So too we were tiny in their eyes. But Rashi's quoted the Gemara in Sotah, which has used the language of there are ants down there in the vineyard. Hare'im cast of Shutar Sofa. And the Re'im Taka writes that it is a mistake of the Girsa, and the Gemara in Sotah, and so too what Rashi is reporting, should really say that they heard there are grasshoppers in the vineyard. But Tzarech Li'ez Chagavim Yesh Bekerim. That's what it should have said. V'nira, She'ein Kan Tos. It seems to say that there is no mistake here. V'Rashi Mefarash Nemalim Yesh Bekerim. And Rashi is correctly explaining that they overheard the giants say that there are ants down there. L'fi She'hayu Ketonim Ma'od Be'enehem. Hayu Kon Oso Nemalim Al Shem Katnuson. Because when there are very big people that look at very little things, the way that very big things look at very little things is to say, oh gosh, it's like an ant. It's so small. These giants looking down at the spies, these little people running around these massive vineyards, they were looking at these people and actually they were exaggerating their diminutive stature. because of their great size. So they look down, oh my gosh, there are ants here.
Because it's normally to call something which is very small an ant, because it is so small. Because there's no such smaller creation than an ant. Okay. And then he carries on and he expresses the fact that Avagav,
even though in truth they really were like a grasshopper, not such a small thing, it's like an ant,
it's because of the great size of the giants that they're called Nemalim. And that's why it's correct to hear that. Okay, so that's Mahalach number one. Mahalach number two is the Sisei Chachomim. The Sisei Chachomim says everything is relative. When a small thing looks at a big thing, and a big thing looks at a small thing, so when my big giant looks at my small midget, and my small midget looks up at a big giant, everyone exaggerates either their relative size. So actually, it's not necessarily objectively the case that the spies were like grasshoppers, and it's not objectively the case that they were like Nemalim. But it's because something very big was looking at something very little, and they were trying to weigh each other up and measure each other up. When you're very high and you're looking at something very short, or when you're very short and looking at something very big, it changes your perception. But that, and so I won't go into that inside because I'm running out of time. So I want to look at the Divrei David. And the Divrei David has something very beautiful over here. And it builds entirely into Rashi an additional dimension as to what's the challenge. Why does Rashi use the word? Why does he use the word Nemalim? And how does that bolster this thesis that actually it was that lowness, that smallness that they looked at themselves that was the great mistake? So he says, I want to explain, according to my humble opinion, the words of Rashi correctly. There's this extra part of the pasuk. Why does it matter? Yes, we were in their eyes like little things. It's extra. It would be enough to say, and so we were in their eyes. Why do you say hayinu? But it must be that the pasuk is trying to express that we were in our eyes like grasshoppers. We know we're people. We be'etzem really know we're human beings. Of stature, of size. We're not midgets. We know that. Ela sha'anu Hishvenu atzmenu, we have made ourselves like ki'ilu einenu anashim. We've made ourselves as if we're not even people. Ela chagovim, we've made ourselves like we're simply grasshoppers. We've reduced ourselves in our own eyes. Masha enkein b'nei Eretz Yisrael, sh'ro'u es hameraglim lo yadu klal she'elo anashim ela nemalim. Whereas when it comes to the b'nei Eretz Yisrael, they don't know that these meraglim, they don't know them at all, that they are people. They just see ants. I don't want to carry on reading because I want to speak a little bit outside. He says that there is actually something which is worse about chagavim. Chagavim, they jump around and they eat stuff. Whereas ants, they walk on the floor. Ants walk on the floor. If you're a giant and you see things walking in the floor of your vineyard, so you think they're ants because things walk on the floor. Little things. Chagavim, they jump around. The spies weren't climbing on the vineyard. They weren't climbing up the vine. So actually, when you come to the perspective of the giant's perspective was correct. They're little ants. But they're not minimizing the value of these people. The true mistake, was the people themselves, the spies themselves, thinking of themselves as little beetles, as little animals. The Kedushas HaLevi says something beautiful over here. Kedushas HaLevi says, on the face of it, this seems very difficult. To talk about ants, seeing that according to our text, they'd refer to them as grasshoppers. Apparently, we have to understand as follows. When the Bnei Israel perform the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this reflects favorably on their God and his kingdom. And this is what Kalev was saying. It's usually translated as Kalev hushed the people, saying, we're going to be able to go up. What he meant was, if only they would have the zechus, by being in the mindset of Aloy Na'aleh, by being in the mindset of we're not just Anasha, we're not just people, we are great people. We are the Am Segula, then there wouldn't have been any difficulties. And Rashi had hinted that the spies had been guilty of throwing off the oil Torah, and that is what is meant by the reference to ants. Just as Shlomo HaMelech talks about ants as things that naturally find their queen ant, their king ant, they naturally find a ruler. Chagavim go around haphazardly. Chagavim have no single ruler, they swarm. It's a mob. And so this language of comparing themselves to Chagavim also, says the Kedushas HaLevi, is a hint to what happened. They were Perek Ol. They threw off HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you throw off HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi ani, so who am I anyway? I don't recognize my value. I don't recognize who I truly am. So the self-esteem, the low self-esteem, is the lie that the spies tell themselves. It's the lie that infects everybody else. And it is the thing that drives them to not be worthy, to hold on to their greatness. If they don't hold on to their greatness, they can't come into Eretz Yisrael. There's an interesting WhatsApp group that I'm part of where Jewish teens ask anonymous questions, and then different rabbis from across the community will answer a question. And one of the questions that was there recently was, what's the difference between low self-esteem and being humble? Surely low for self-esteem and being humble are quite, maybe on the face of it, quite similar. Being humble means that I don't puff myself up. Low self-esteem also, I haven't puffed myself up. So I was asked the question, and maybe with this I'll finish. Low self-esteem, I said to them, saying to you again, is the lie that we tell ourselves that we're worthless. And this was the lie that the spies told themselves and told the people. It was the lie that they were still a slave nation. Every single person has kochos. Every single person has value. Every single beautiful, shining soul has their own unique light to give to the world. And that, I think, is our role as mechanchim, as rebbeim, as parents, as mashpiim, is to help others find their own light. Humility doesn't mean ignoring the light that I have to shine in the world. Humility means that I recognize two things. I recognize that in comparison to the ultimate Or, the ultimate light, the Or Ein Sof, I am nothing. And therefore I should never become bigger than my station. And also, just because I have my own light to shine doesn't make me an inch, an iota, a millimeter bigger or better than someone else with their own unique light. There is one person who we describe as Anov Mikol Adam, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the same Moshe Rabbeinu that wrote that there will never be a prophecy, there could never be a prophecy like he had, that wrote such great, powerful things, he is not the stereotype we have of humility, which is someone who's shrunken over, wringing their hands. That is not humility. Humility is to know exactly who you are, exactly who you are, that you have a unique light to shine. And you can feel so much esteem, so much happiness, so much goodness in the light that you have to shine. But in the comparison, the face of God's light, it's the mere flicker in the wind. And it never means that my light is any more valuable than anyone else's light. My friends, my bracha to us all is that we should be able to see our own light, to feel good about it, to feel exactly what it is, and to enable us all to shine. Why? 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 Why?